Good morning, everybody, or good middle of the night, because we're being joined by a special guest from China, Coach Bobby Gonzalez of the Jilin Northeast Tigers, and we're being joined today from Washington, D.C., by Lisa Hsu of Tencent. Lisa is the most renowned and respected NBA writer in all of China. She voted for NBA Finals MVP last year, which was a precedent-setting thing. The NBA had never let anybody from international media vote for the NBA Finals MVP, and when they finally decided to do that, that vote went to Lisa Hsu of Tencent. So when I tell you that Lisa is the most highly regarded and most widely read NBA writer in the world, I'm not kidding. Given the amount of people who live in China and the amount of people who are following Lisa on Weibo and on WeChat and as well as Twitter and in the U.S., I think Lisa has more readers than anybody in the world, and I don't think anybody who's in second place is even close. So, Lisa Hsu, first of all, I'm gonna start with you. Thanks for joining us on the show. You spent a lot of time in China over the summer, but you're back in the States now. What's your take on the first couple weeks of the NBA season? Naturally, everybody's waiting for Jimmy Butler to get traded, and everybody's watching every Laker game and wondering, hey, what the heck is wrong with this team, and is Luke Walton going to make it, or is Luke Walton going to get fired? As far as from what you can see, what are the top two or three storylines in the NBA right now?
I think first it definitely is a Jimmy Butler trade, because everybody's been waiting for that. And, you know, is he staying or going maybe Houston Rockets? So right now it's like everybody's been waiting because, Jimmy Butler is such a great player. And then no matter where he goes, it's going to make an impact on the teams, no matter if it's the Houston Rockets or, you know, still Timberwolves or somewhere else. So I think definitely the top-notch story right now is around the Jimmy Butler. But I wanted to also point out, like, besides, you know, the old story, like Lakers, Golden State Warriors, but this season we've seen a lot of, like, the young players really take place. Like Giannis, you know, because the Greek freak right now is really, really good. I know he's playing Golden State Warriors tomorrow, so I definitely want to see how that happens, you know, what's going to happen in that game tomorrow night. And also, you know, you can see Zach LaVine, he got an injury last season, and then he got traded from Minnesota to Chicago, and then had an injury for the entire season. Right now, it's like he's like the score machine, and I know he just went really like the really tight game in New York Knicks. So I think Kemba Walker, same thing. He's like before, no one really, when we talk about the top point guard, we didn't really mention his name a lot, but this season we can see he's really, you know, going somewhere. And also those young rookies like Luka Doncic, I know he went to China this summer, and I got so amazed by there's a lot of Chinese fans already know him, want to see him. And also like there's another young player, Trae Young. So there's a lot of exciting stories, not just about, you know, LeBron's in Lakers, and they still didn't win a lot yet. And also, you know, the old story, we've been listening for that for a long time, like a Golden State Warriors, how good they are. We all know how good they are. So for me, I want to see more, like more stuff, like more interesting stuff. Like right now, the Raptors, you know, the Raptors and the first trade, and then we want to see a little bit more. And then actually the Raptors, they got a new head coach. They got Leonard over there. So, yeah, this is a lot of stuff going on in East Coast too. So before, like, people say, oh, the West Coast, a lot of things going on, and then they got so great. Everybody besides Kyrie, it's all going to West Coast. But right now, East Coast is getting a little bit more and more interested. And then also, like I said before, the Great Freak. So let's see. I think for the first, like almost 1 month, there's a lot of things going on at, in the West Coast and the East Coast. I really want to see not just only, you know, the old story, also about the new faces in the NBA. Chris.
Yeah, it, you know, you mentioned Kemba Walker. He's scoring 28.1 points per game. And Zach LaVine coming off signing a new contract. You know, a lot of guys sign a new contract and then they stop playing as hard as they did before they got the contract. He is certainly an exception to that rule. He's averaging almost 28 points per game, which is more than James Harden, who's at, 27.8. And, then, you know, as you go down through the top 10, top 12 scorers, DeMar DeRozan is at 27.3 and Kawhi Leonard is at 26.1. It's really, really bunched up behind Steph Curry, who's leading the league right now at 31.3 points per game. And and look, the scoring race is interesting. But like you said, everybody knows the Golden State Warriors are just, you know, far and away the best team in the NBA. And with the season that that Steph Curry's having, making almost six threes a game and making them at a 51% clip right now, he's the one guy you want to watch. But the second guy you want to watch is LeBron James. And LeBron James is playing tonight against Jimmy Butler and the Minnesota Timberwolves. And Gonzo, I'm going to kick it over to you on this one. Gonzo, you coached against Jimmy Butler when you were at Seton Hall and he was at Marquette. Kind of, what's your take on where this guy might end up and how quickly or not a trade may come down?
Well, it's very interesting, Chris, as you know. You know, as you keep mentioning, Minnesota's holding out, you know, maybe waiting for the trade deadline to just wait for, you know, people to just, you know, give way above and beyond maybe really what he's worth. But, you know, again, Chris, he was it's interesting story because he was, you know, as you said, like a homeless guy coming out of Houston. He was a junior college transfer. A lot of people didn't know much about him. He went to Marquette. I thought he was like a sleeper guy, and I tried to tell a lot of GMs to draft him. I was on the phone with a ton of scouts really trying to sell him. And I, you know, Buzz Williams was a friend of mine, the coach at Marquette at the time, and I was telling people this kid is getting undervalued. You know, he's a steal in the first round. I told many, many GMs to take him. Guys didn't really listen. And he just kept getting better. He got in the league, and he just kept getting better. And now he's become, you know, kind of a superstar, all-star type guy. And he's really, it's kind of changed a lot, his situation, you know. And I don't know if he's changed a lot as a person, but, you know, he's kind of different than the guy I remember. But, you know, my prediction, Chris, will probably be wrong because maybe they just won't have enough to get it done. But I keep thinking that the Houston Rockets, I just feel like Daryl Morey, you know, he's not afraid to swing at the fences and make big deals. And he's got that kind of, you know, courage and nerve. And I know, you know, they don't want Brandon Knight and, you know, what they're offering Marquise Chris and the four first-round picks because they may not be great first-round picks. So right now they're saying no. But I just think Houston, because they want to catch, they want to try to, you know, get in there with Golden State, that they're just going to be desperate to make it happen. And I just feel like Daryl Morey's a, you know, big game hunter, and he's going to find a way to get it done. So that's kind of my prediction, but I'm probably wrong because I hear everybody say Philly and Miami and other teams, but I'm going to stick with the Houston Rockets and say before it's over, they find a way to get it done.
Yeah, the issue for the Rockets and I think with the Timberwolves is Eric Gordon going to be in that trade? Is PJ Tucker going to be in that trade, or is it just Brandon Knight and Marcus Chris? Because as you said, those four first-round picks, that sounds great, but the, you know, the pick this year and the pick 3 years from now are going to be like 27, 28, 29. That's almost a second-round pick. Lisa, I want to ask you about a theory. Look, Pat Riley's been trying to make trades all summer long. We're now into the fall, and it's November 7th as we record. What about Pat Riley being able to acquire Jimmy Butler? Do you think that's still something that the Miami Heat will try to do?
I think for me, doesn't always, you have to always count on Pat Riley. You consider some big trades because you know that guy won't just stay there and do nothing. So I really actually, if Jim Butler goes to Miami, that would be another great story because, you know, if you go to Houston Rockets, even though you can reach to, you know, maybe reach to the West Conference Finals this season again. But, you know, you have James Harden, you have Chris Paul, you have a lot of guys on that team. So it doesn't really matter for you, you know, you won't put a lot of, you know, good stuff on yourself. But if you're going to, you know, Miami, you can really take the whole team and do something in the East. This season in the East is all about who can take the opportunity, because since LeBron is going in the West Coast, so the opportunity is open. So for Jimmy Butler, if he wants to put more like on his legacy, I think that going to Miami is another good option for him. And also, I know Dwayne Wade is still there, and then Dwayne Wade still can really pass the torch to a lot of our guys, and then maybe Jimmy Butler can really take over. And also, we know, you know, Goran Dragic is there. They're still good players. They have still good players, and also Whiteside. So, you know, if you put a little pieces together, the Miami Heat may really go somewhere in the East. Like I said before, the East right now is like it's like the battle. It's like the war. Let's see who can take it. I can't say right now Celtics definitely going to take it, because you know, have a lot of teams also, Sixers and the Raptors, and also you know, like the Bucks. So Miami Heat, why now? You know, if he can get Butler, I think that's the best chance to get Butler.
Yeah, the Heat right now are sitting in eighth place at 4-5, and you know, there's a couple teams that probably will make the playoffs. They're just not up there yet. Detroit is sitting at 4-5. The Washington Wizards are a big surprise at 2-8.
Surprise.
And Lisa, I want to hit you on that too, because I know you got to get out the door. 2-8 for the Wizards is not good. And there's been a lot of speculation about Scott Brooks and his job security. And I think the powers that be in Washington, they want to see a body of evidence with Dwight Howard in the lineup. But at six games under 500 right now, they're losing their games by an average of 10.3 points. That's second in the East behind Cleveland, which is at 10.8, which is just a calamity. I wrote about that on Monday. They're sitting at 1-9. But the Washington Wizards are not playing good basketball. And so what's your take on whether Scott Brooks keeps his job or loses his job?
You know, I think Bobby's here, Coach Bobby's here, so he knows, you know, in NBA, this is a players' league. If something happened, they blame on the head coach first. They fire the head coach first, no matter what. So, like, Ty Lue, he was the first one, and then right now it's like with Washington Wizards, all the, like, the right now is very, very bad record. Actually, yesterday I just talked to one of the PR guy, because we had like a schedule to do the like an interview and like fun stuff with Bradley Beal, because his name is Panda. So we said, oh, let's go to the zoo in Washington D.C. to see Panda, actually see the panda together. But the PR guy said, I know, that's a great idea. We've been wanting to set up this stuff, but right now the team has to play much, much better, because they know these things. So for me, I think right now is the record. They may, you know, blame the head coach. I know Coach, you know, Scott Brooks is very good coach, and I've been talking to him. If I got a chance to talk to him, he's a really good guy, and he's a good coach. But for him right now, this no one can really solve the problems. Even though Dwight Howard had injury before, and right now just come back to play, and then they just got the first home win like on last Sunday. So it's definitely not good enough for the whole team. So, you know, this is such a shame, because the Washington Wizards supposed to be the potential great team in East. Right now, it's just, you can see them. You just can't see them at all. So I know this has to be a one guy to blame on in this league. It's always like the first one, always the head coach. You know, sometimes This is very, very shame to say that, but it is what it is.
Yeah, exactly. It is what it is. And you know, you mentioned Scott Hall, the PR guy, great guy. Scott Brooks, the coach, great guy. I've covered him as a coach and I've covered him as a player. Interesting thing about Scott, every team he was traded to, and he was traded a bunch of times and he played for a lot of different teams, he kept a jersey from every single team. So in his closet, he's got a game jersey for every team, every single NBA team that he played for. But he's got to be on thin ice now, just given the record and given the level of expectations. 2-8 isn't going to get it done. But then again, Dwight Howard's only played a couple games. I think the Wizards probably, you know, Ernie Grunfeld, Tommy Shepard, the guys in the front office say, look, let's give it another week. Let's give it another 2 weeks and see how well we can integrate Dwight Howard, because we've only played 10 games. We got to play 72 more. And Scott, look, we know Scott's a good coach. So, and we got John Wall, and we got Bradley Beal, and we got Otto Porter. We got a heck of a lineup. Let's see what happens as we integrate Dwight in and as he, you know, gets loose from his injury. And let's err on the side of caution. Knowing those guys, I think that's how they're going to think. But, you know, the flip side is the Wizards lose 2-3 in a row going forward this week, and then maybe that won't work. And, Lisa, I know you got to get out the door, so I'm going to thank you for coming on and joining us from Washington, D.C., and I know you got to get out and get to work. So, again, she's Lisa Hsu from Tencent. And, folks, she is the most widely read NBA writer in the world. And whoever is number two, and that includes Woj, is not even close to the amount of people that are reading Lisa Hsu's columns and watching her broadcasts and listening to her radio interviews. So, Lisa, thanks for joining us on the show this afternoon, or this morning, I should say. And now, Bobby, I'm going to kick it over to you because I want to get your take on Scott Brooks. You've told me some stories about Scott and connections that he has to some people up in Westchester County where we both live. Of course, when you're not coaching in China, you live in Westchester. But what's your take on the Scott Brooks situation with the Washington Wizards, Bobby?
Well, it's a great question, Chris. You know, there's so much talk about Luke Walton, and then, you know, Magic Johnson came out, as you know, Chris, and, you know, put that to rest and said he'll get through the season unless something drastic happens. So I guess that gave him a little caveat. I don't know what drastic would be. And then there's been talk about Billy Donovan, you know, but the OKC seems to have turned it around a little bit. And then there was talk, of course, about Tom Thibodeau with everything that's going on there in Minnesota, the fans booing, the whole Jimmy Butler saga. So, you know, Scott Brooks has kind of gotten on the back burner a little bit in terms of the publicity. And now just recently people are starting to say, well, you know, his seat is getting very hot. I think, you know, really good guy, as you said, Chris, NBA lifer, you know, quality guy, good coach. You know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. He has we have a great mutual friend in Westchester who owned a restaurant, and he apparently befriended Scott when he played for the Knicks there at the end of his career. And they became very, very close. And this guy's a great guy. He's become a friend of mine. His son owns a sneaker store there in Mamaroneck. And the dad is basically the runs, you know, one of the clubs on the water that all the weddings are at. And Scott is very loyal to him. He brings him to games and he goes down and visits him and everything like that. And so, you know, personally, I certainly would feel bad if you know, something happens. But on the other hand, you know, they just seem to be somewhat dysfunctional, the Wizards. I don't know the answer. You know, they got talent. They've had some great runs in the past where they've gotten to the playoffs and it looked like maybe they were going to do something and then they get knocked out in the first round. So certainly it's been a disappointing start to the season. I think you make great sense, Chris, when you say they got to give Dwight Howard a little time and see if, you know, because they did, of course, get rid of Martin Gortat. You know, I'm curious to see what people are thinking about, you know, Rivers there now. You know, they thought maybe beefing up their bench and getting them a third guard who can come in and, you know, be a good player to help out Bradley Beal and John Wall. Maybe that would be, you know, a big difference. So it's interesting that the moves that they've made in the off season really haven't paid off yet. So like you say, Chris, I think maybe they're going to give it a little more time. But like you say, Chris, if I agree with what you said, that if all of a sudden they get in a losing patch, you know, they could have a lot of pressure to make a decision and, you know, and have to be the next team to fire their coach after Cleveland with Tyronn Lue, of course.
Yeah, I don't disagree with any of that, Bobby, and that's going to make me turn to the board because there are some very interesting odds up today. The odds to win the NBA championship, of course, the Golden State Warriors are heavy favorites at -175. The Rockets have moved to 10-1. The Celtics are at 7-1. The Raptors are at 9-1. The Wizards, the team we were just talking about, they're 125-1. The Cavs, who may not win another ball game all year, they're at 1,000-1. But look at this: the Brooklyn Nets, right now in seventh place in the Eastern Conference. They're now nobody expects the Brooklyn Nets to win the NBA championship. However, they're at 500-1, and they're in seventh place in the Eastern Conference. Caris LeVert is playing fantastic. D'Angelo Russell's having some fits and starts, but Caris LeVert has been great. Jared Allen is a real good building block at center. Bobby, what's your take on Brooklyn and kind of the early season success they've had, which is probably much better than Sean Marks and Kenny Atkinson thought they were going to have? They had a nice win out on the coast yesterday.
Well, you're right, Chris. They're a little bit of a surprise story. I read this thing the other day where Mike D'Antoni, of course, was complimenting Kenny Atkinson, who, you know, of course, worked for Mike D'Antoni with the Knicks. So, you know, certainly, you know, there's a personal relationship there. So, you know, he likes him, and he, you know, and he's going to, you know, promote him. But still, you know, he gave him a big shout out by saying that he thought Kenny Atkinson was doing a fantastic job, deserved a lot of credit. I know you're pretty friendly, Chris, personally, with Sean Marks. And, you know, he deserves some credit because he's made some, you know, interesting moves, off-season moves with either picking up free agents or trades or, you know, different things that he's done. And they've really kicked the tires on a lot of guys. They've made a lot of interesting moves. They've been, you know, pretty bold and risky. And, you know, they've traded for some guys that people maybe, you know, didn't know if they would work out, guys like D'Angelo Russell. I remember when they took Caris LeVert, you know, in the draft. He was hurt at the time, and he slipped in the draft because he was injured at Michigan. So, you know, they've done a lot of things that, you know, it takes a lot of creative stuff to do. So they deserve a lot of credit for the roster they've put together, you know, and they have good guards. I mean, Spencer Dinwiddie is another one of those guys that, you know, again, you know, was you know, drafted late, and people really didn't know. He's another guy that was also injured. And they've done a nice job of evaluating players, I think, Chris. I think they've put nice pieces together. They have some good young pieces there. You know, they made some moves to get some shooting when they brought in Allen Crabbe. You know, so I like their roster. I think they're an intriguing team. And Kenny Atkinson, certainly, like Mike D'Antoni says, he's done a nice job for a young head coach. You know, they're a little bit of a dangerous type of team because, you know, people will play them and maybe think it becomes like a trap game when you play the Nets. You know, everybody comes in thinking that, you know, it's going to be an easy game, and it's not an easy game. So, you know, those are the type of teams that, you know, win games in the NBA on different nights when people aren't expecting it. So I think you're on the money, Chris, with them. They definitely are a little bit of a surprise type of team.
Yeah, and having them on the board at 500-1 is a big move because they've been on the board at you know, extraordinarily larger numbers earlier in the season. You know, this gives me a chance to put in a plug for the people who are paying the bills. You know, this podcast, Sports Betting Tips with Chris Sheridan, it lives on GetMoreSports.com, but we're funded by BetDSI.com, which is one of the largest offshore gambling facilities in the world. And if you go to BetDSI.com or outside of the United States, you have to go to BetDSI.eu and you use bonus code BBALL1000. That's all capital letters, BBALL1000. They'll match your initial deposit up to $1,000. So, you know, whether you're playing in Chinese money, in Hong Kong money, in British pounds, euros, they'll still match you up to 1,000 U.S. dollars. So it's a hell of a lot of free money to go have some fun with. But, Bobby, I'm going to kick it back to you now, and I want you to start telling me what some of the stuff you've been seeing over in China. You're coaching with the Jilin Northeast Tigers, you were down in Shanghai last week, and you said Louis Scola lit you up for three quarters, and then Jimmer Fredette took you guys down in the fourth quarter. But, you know, tell us a few stories about some of the NBA guys that you're seeing in China, and who's playing well, and who you think is going to be coming back to the NBA after the CBA season ends, which is in February, then the playoffs go into March.
Yeah, well, that, you know, you hit it on the head, Chris. One of the things I've been kind of pleasantly surprised with, and, you know, a little intrigued, and, of course, you know, certainly I'm early in my career here. I'm only eight games into it. But, you know, I'm really surprised sort of at the quality of the NBA guys that, you know, the guys that played in the NBA that are here in China. You know, I kind of thought, oh, you know, the guys that are in China are probably guys that, you know, maybe Al Jefferson, guys that were older, kind of done with their time, and, you know, they maybe some guys like, you know, Magic Lampe and Dominic Jones, who we have, who were in the NBA early on in their career, and then maybe became international players, and they were pretty much done with their time in the NBA. I thought that was really the majority of the import players, but actually, Chris, it's not. You know, you'll see a young guy like Joe Young, who's a guard, you know, who played with the Pacers, played at Oregon, was, you know, with Indiana, did pretty well. You know, he's a kid. He's very talented, scoring a lot of points in this league. I can see him getting back in the NBA. You know, of course, Jared Sullinger is a pretty well-known player who, you know, was with the Celtics. He was with Toronto. I know he's a guy that's had some weight problems and maybe some conditioning issues, but we played him the other night. He was very impressive. I mean, he's such a big guy, and he's so skilled. You know, very talented. I could see him still making another run back in the NBA. Guy like Jason Thompson, who once upon a time was a, you know, lottery pick with Sacramento Kings, of course, was in that trade with Philly. He's over here. We played him the other night. You know, again, I'm surprised at the quality of the Tyler Hansbrough. You know, many big guys that played in the NBA that are still pretty current in their career. Some of them are still middle of the road, you know, in their 20s and still have some mileage left. I wouldn't be surprised if they went back to the NBA and became rotation players, you know, on certain teams. And Pierre Jackson, the little guard I was telling you about, Chris, I mean, he's leading the CBA in scoring right now. He kind of took Steph Marbury's place with the old Beijing team. And, you know, Pierre Jackson, who was the little guard, played at Baylor, was with the Philadelphia 76ers. He was with Orlando. I know he went through some tough. He tore his ACL twice, and he really is small. He's only 5'10", 5'11", but, man, he's getting big numbers here, Chris. He had 60-something against one of the teams. He had 50-something against us. I mean, he's averaging over 44 a game. He's beating Darius Adams and all these other U.S. import guards, Russ Smith, Marcus Denman. There's a lot of good scoring guards here that, you know, that's what kind of the league is known for. And he is, you know, outscoring all of them. So, you know, little Pierre Jackson is a, you know, heck of a little player. I could see, you know, somebody taking a flyer on him maybe that needs a backup point guard maybe in the playoffs or something like that. So I do think, Chris, there's some guys here that, and as you know, Chris, David Griffin, former GM of the Cleveland Cavaliers, who, you know, fantastic former GM, a guy that, you know, I'm sure will be back in the NBA someday as a GM, again, because he won a championship in Cleveland, and he's a very brilliant guy. And as you know, Chris, you know, me and him corresponded, and he gave me great advice and said just take notes and, you know, really pay attention to all the import players and the U.S., the NBA guys that you see over there, because he made a great point, Chris, by saying that with the money problems that are going on in Europe now, a lot of the top guys are getting paid big money to come to China. And, you know, me and you talked about Donatas Motiejūnas, who's from Lithuania, who's, you know, but still, I still think he's some, you know, he's a European player, but I think he's a guy that still maybe could play in the NBA, you know. And we faced him, and he's big, and he's very versatile. A lot of these guys, they have the modern type of game that fits the NBA. And that's the other thing about the guys that are here. You know, they're perfect for China, but they're also, you know, I think still fit in with what's going on in the modern NBA with the positionless basketball. And so, you know, again, Chris, I'm paying attention to everything I see here. And, you know, Jimmer Fredette, I know he's kind of, you know, maybe his star came and went with, you know, he had his opportunity with first Sacramento, and then, of course, he was with the Knicks for a time. But, you know, he's a terrific scorer and a very good player over here. I had great conversations with him. He told me he loved Westchester. Him and his wife loved Westchester when they were living there. And I told him I wish he was still with the Knicks. And funny story with him, Chris, he was in upstate New York in high school, and I tried to recruit him. I was at Seton Hall, and I called his AAU coach, and he says to me, Bobby, he probably won't go to Seton Hall. He won't go to a Catholic school. And I said, well, why not? And he said, well, he's Mormon. And I didn't know that. And I said, oh, and so he ended up going, of course, you know, out to Utah, bring him young, and, you know, because he was Mormon. I told him that story when I ran into him with Shanghai, and he was laughing, and, you know, we hugged and everything. So it's kind of great, Chris, to see these guys out here, and a good experience for me, you know, to kind of watch these guys up close and in a league like this. It's a very interesting league, Chris. There's a little bit of European flavor, a little bit of China, of course, a little bit of U.S. It's very different. It's not quite like anything I've experienced. So it's a great learning experience, that's for sure.
And Bobby, what about crazy stuff? You know, in the NBA there was one fight this year, and there was some suspensions. You know, whether Rajon Rondo spit at Chris Paul is still a matter of debate. But Brandon Ingram got 4 games, and Chris Paul and Rajon Rondo got smaller suspensions. But when they have fights in international basketball, they tend to go a little bit haywire. Anybody who saw the Thon Maker video when he was playing for the Philippines over the summer knows what I'm talking about. What's kind of maybe the craziest on-court thing you've either seen in video or in person while you've been in China over the course of the first few games of the CBA season?
Well, that's a good question, Chris. You know, it's funny. You know, I haven't seen a big crazy fight so far or anything like that. But you know, a couple little just funny type of things that you don't see every day. Like for instance, in the game with Shenzhen with Jared Sullinger. You know, it's a 1-point war. There's maybe about, you know, a couple minutes to go in the game, and he, you know, I recruited him also and knew him way back when he was at Ohio State. I hadn't seen him in years, and you know, he knew me and I knew him, but you know. I don't think he knew I was in China, and I didn't run into him before the game or see him in the warm-ups. And he was taking a ball out of bounds right in front of our bench. And, you know, it's a 1-point game, and all of a sudden, you know, the refs, there's like this big, you know, debate going on, and everyone's screaming and yelling at each other. And Jared Sullinger recognizes me, and he leans over, and he says, hey, coach, how you doing? So, you know, it's right during the game. I'm on the bench. The Chinese, everybody's looking at me, the referees, the coaches, you know, like, who are these two guys talking? You know, how does he know him? And so it was just the funniest thing. So I reached out my fist, and we like, you know, and I said, well, I'm doing okay, Jared, but I'd be doing better if we could win the game. And he goes, well, I don't think I could let that happen, coach. So that was a little bit of a funny, crazy story that happened in the Shenzhen game with, you know, when Jared Sullinger recognized me right there when he was taking the ball out during the game. But it's definitely different, Chris. You know, I've seen, you know, different things as far as you know, how the players, you know, kind of how they prepare for the game, and then how long the game is, and then the different calls that go on, and then trying to deal with the language barrier. You know, you'll have, you know, American guys out there, you know, and then you'll have, you know, of course, the Chinese players. And so it's just a very, very interesting dynamic. You know, there'll be times, you know, people are saying things and nobody, and, you know, you don't understand each other until, like, the translator gets involved. And so, you know, there's a lot of that, Chris, with you know, stuff getting lost in translation. And, you know, so that's been also interesting. But I haven't seen a crazy fight yet, luckily enough. But I've seen some interesting travel stuff and you know, some funny stories so far that I think, you know, eventually I'll be able to tell when I come back home.
And you were mentioning a player you ran into, and I don't remember, recall the fellow's name, but you said, I had a conversation with this guy, and this particular guy, he doesn't come to practice. He just comes to the games, and they let him get away with it.
Yes. I've heard about, like, there's some teams that, you know, the import guys will basically just go from game to game. You know, they stay in the hotel, they rest, they stretch, they – you know, I don't know if it's not in their contract or what. You know, I run into a couple of guys that have said to me, yeah, you know, these guys over here, they practice too much, and it's tough. And so we just, you know, we pick our spots, and, you know, we kind of just show up at the games. And I'm like, wow, you know, that's something, you know, you'd never see, you know, of course, you know, in the NBA or whatever. So, you know, that's another interesting, you know, scenario that I've, you know, kind of run into with how, you know, it's so different, whereas the foreign guys, the imports, are treated, you know, so differently than, let's say, you know, the regular local guys. So that's another dynamic that I've never been part of, you know, seeing that whole thing, you know, know, and then figuring out the food for everybody. And, you know, it's just, each step of the way, Chris, it's definitely a great learning experience.
Yeah, I've been over there a couple times, and yeah, the food is tricky. The hot pot thing, you know, you got to go with the spicy hot pot, but you got to be careful what you put into that hot pot because you know there's not a lot of parts of the animal that they're not eating over there, and so if you're in a city like Shanghai, you can eat at Western restaurants. They're easy to find. Beijing, if you go over by the embassy, There's good American restaurants that were open by expats who've been there for a long time, but then in a place like where you're coaching Jilin, I imagine it's pretty challenging. But you know, food is food. You got to eat, and if it's noodles, it's noodles, and if it's burgers or pasta, you're lucky in China. But let's kick it back to the NBA or also NCAA because Duke played Kentucky last night, and Duke has the best. What's being regarded as the best freshman recruiting class of all time. And I only caught a couple glances at the game, but at one point I looked up and it was 49-29. Duke was killing Kentucky. And Gonzo, what about that with the NCAA? Is Duke going to just run away with this thing with the class that they have?
You know, they might, Chris. I mean, now Kentucky will get better, you know, during the year because they're also very talented. They just didn't show it, you know, last night. But, you know, those guys are something special, you know, that are at Duke. I mean, Zion Williamson is a man-child. He's a beast. R.J. Barrett, who's Rowan Barrett's son, you know, from Canada, is, you know, conceivably, everybody says pretty much for the last year or two now, they've been saying he's definitely going to be the number one pick in the draft after this year. I mean, these guys, like, it was one thing. I mean, they had a pretty good crew with Wendell Carter, who's with the Bulls, and Marvin Bagley, who's with the Kings, and those guys were all lottery picks and everything. But these guys are almost like another level, like another step up. They're all special in their own right. Cam Reddish, you know, they have really, really, like, some unique talented guys that are just exceptional. Now, you know, Kansas, there's some other, of course, blue blood teams that maybe could challenge, and guys do go through ups and downs during the year, of course. Everyone has to stay healthy, and teams are going to get better, and teams are going to change a little bit. But, geez, Chris, it's almost hard to imagine, you know, Duke, you know, if they could stay together and stay healthy, and you got, of course, a coach like Coach Kelly who's, you know, guided, you know, national champion teams, but also Olympic teams, and he's dealt with pros, and I mean, he's been through every scenario there is. So, you know, they got the right coach. I'd have to say, you know, if somebody said, you know, would you take Duke or the rest of the field, I'd probably say, give me Duke. You know, unless something goes wrong, and God forbid someone gets hurt, you know, they probably will, Chris, win the whole thing. I mean, it's funny. Rick Pitino came on, and I think he predicted that. Geez, he might have said that about a month ago, and a few other people that knew what Duke was getting kind of was saying, hey, you know, if Duke doesn't win the national title, you know, it's going to be a shocker. So, you know, again, Chris, there'll be some other teams that'll challenge during the year. It's a long season, and, you know, guys get in foul trouble, things happen, and there's always some upsets along the way. It's very hard to be, you know, most people don't go undefeated in league play, especially with a league like the ACC where there's other, you know, there is other very, very good teams. So I think, you know, at times they'll get beat or some things will happen. But I'd have to say, Chris, that, you know, that right there was a preview, a sign of what will probably – the way the year it started is probably the way the year is going to end with Duke on top.
It was something to see. The few moments that I glanced at the game when I was out having a burger, Duke just looked phenomenal, just phenomenal. So – but like Bobby said, you know, you got to wait and see. Injuries can take a toll. There's always a sneaky team that comes up on you in the tournament that's got, it's, you know, maybe it's a mid-major and they got guys that have been playing together for 4 years and they're going up against one-and-dones. It's happened before. So, you know, the 16 has beaten the one. That happened last year for the first time, I believe. So if teams have beaten twos before, you just never know when March Madness rolls around. But with that, I got to start to wrap us up, and it's one more reminder that although this show lives on GetMoreSports.com, the fellows paying the bills are BetDSI.com, and this is a place where you can go and make a $1,000 U.S. deposit It's betdsi.eu if you're overseas, and it's betdsi.com in the United States. And you make a $1,000 deposit, and use bonus code BBALL1000, all capital letters, BBALL1000, and they'll match you up to $1,000 in whatever currency you're using. So it's a lot of free money. You go out and have some fun, make your bets, you know, however you want to make them. But when you're out at the bars and you're, you know, gambling on the cell phone, which is very common overseas, and it's becoming very common here in the United States, bet with BetDSI. They'll take care of you. And with that, we're going to wrap it up. Bobby Gonzalez coming in to us from Jilin, China, way up by Pyongyang in North Korea. And Lisa Hsu joined us from Washington, D.C. And again, Lisa Hsu is the most widely read NBA writer in the world. Anybody who tells you otherwise doesn't know what they're talking about. And I want to thank her for coming on as well. She's good people. And with that, we're going to wrap it up. So over